Matthew 14 and 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. In the book of, I think it's Luke, the scripture says that they wanted, because of the miracles that Jesus did, they wanted to take him captive and make him a king. That's what the scripture says in Luke. And that's why Jesus sent the disciples away. He was trying to break that mess up. That's why he sent the multitudes away. He never wanted to be a king to anybody, at least not on this earth. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain. There's that mountain again. There's that private time. He went up into the mountain and he took his phone with him so he could get any important messages. He took his iPad so he could play a few games while he was up there. And he handled some business, but the Lord knows, because he's busy and he has things to do. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Did I forget to announce something? Wednesday night, we will not have a traditional service because this is our work week. And so we ask you, if you normally come, to continue to come and help us clean up the church and tidy it up and have some fellowship. We'll cook some food for you. Or we'll throw some hot dogs on the grill. One of the two. So hope to see you still. Don't bail out on us. We could use you. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Anybody ever feel like the things of life are contrary to your direction? You feel like things are always pushing back against you? I want you to remember the Lord sent you on that path. He sent them into the ship, out into the sea. You think he didn't know? Let me say it one more time just to make sure you get it. The Lord sent you wherever you are, whatever you're fighting, the Lord sent you there. And in the fourth watch, oh, you don't believe me? He didn't ordain your steps. He doesn't ordain your pathway. He just forgot, made a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I should have to turn right, not left. I made a mistake. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples, everybody say disciples, saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Everybody say troubled. Saying, is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You mean to tell me Jesus can show up and people can be afraid? You mean to tell me Jesus can show up and we not really understand what it is and who it is and how it is? But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm going to stop there for a few moments. They're going to get ready to pray for us. I'd like to preach to you, the Lord will help me, on the topic, it's time to fill up. That's a pretty dumb title, I know. I hate doing titles. Go ahead.
Jesus, I pray for this service, Lord God, that you just have your hand over it, Lord God. That you just speak through them and help them, Lord Jesus, and uplift them. And that you just open up our minds, our hearts, and our ears for this service, Lord Jesus, and help us to retrieve it and use it wherever needed, Lord God. And that we'll just have safe travels to the next service. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You've stood a long time. Thank you for standing. Jesus constrained, he ordered, he instructed the disciples to get in the ship and to sail to the other side. You could look at your life, if you wanted to, as a boat, a vessel. And the vessel is meant to get you from point A to point B. Now, our problem is, I want to say this. I want you to understand what I'm saying, because I'm gonna get mugged when I get done here if you don't understand it. You know how when ladies go into a store, they don't just go for one thing? They like to browse. Okay. All right, now, ladies, don't get upset at me here. All right, this is not your chance to talk, it's mine. Now, if men do, Well, we're going to pray you through. Anyway,
it's okay. I'm not. See, you can't even make.
Boy, the ladies. Man, you got to get your homes in order, huh? I'm just kidding. I'm going to keep digging myself a deeper ditch. I just feel like digging a hole today. It's okay to have fun. Moving on. If life is a boat, then the boat doesn't allow for a whole lot of losing time. The problem with us, and primarily I'll say in America, is we like to browse. Not just women. We all like to browse. What do I mean by that is we like to fill our schedules. We like to fill our schedules with things that please us, that satisfy us, that we enjoy. Not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying we like to fill our schedules. We live in a busy world. That's not a secret. You understand. I understand. But the problem is, when Jesus called us, he didn't call us to fulfill schedules. He called us to get in the boat that he instructs us to get into. And then he sends the boat where it's going, which means I'm going to take you from here to there, because there I've got something for you to do. When we're done, you'll get back in that boat probably. And we'll have you go over there, and then thus it continues. So when he instructed the disciples to get into the ship and to sail to the other side, the first thing is he had a plan. The second thing is he knew what the path was going to bring. That's why do you think he came walking out on the water? He had already planned all that. But the boat, it wasn't a houseboat. It wasn't a houseboat, but it was just a boat meant to get them from one place to the other. So they get there, and you understand in the middle of the journey, the storm rises up. And there was obviously some contention. It's possible they begin to argue with each other and bicker with each other and say, my God, I told you we should have waited. I warned you the skies were getting, I don't know what was going on. But something happened. And Jesus thought, my God, I better get out there because these guys are going to eat each other alive. And on his way out in the midst of the sea, and I'm just taking my time, but I'll hurry. He walks out and they see him and they were afraid. And they said, well, what is this? Is it a spirit? They didn't know what it was. And he spoke to them, told them to be, it's okay, it's me. And Peter said, if it's you, he said, bid me to come. Jesus said one word. One word. He said, come. Now, first of all, what Peter asked was absolutely ludicrous. It was crazy. So crazy that not one of you have ever asked the Lord the same thing. None of you have ever asked the Lord, I want to walk on water. If it's you, you tell me to come, and I'm going to walk out. I'm going to step out in the middle of the Lake Erie. I'm just going to walk. Because it's crazy. But Peter had enough faith and confidence. He said, if this is the Lord, I'm going to be all right. And so he said, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. No elaborate speech. There was no convincing. There was no Bible stories. There was no scripture, that the Lord would say. Nothing. He just said, come. Now, the reason I wanted to make that point to you is for most of us, if not all, at some point in your life, you ask the Lord for something. And at that point, he responded very short, but very candidly. And because of that word, you moved. Because of that word, it gave you confidence. Because of that word, you continued to move in the direction that the Lord was taking you, no matter how ludicrous or no matter how crazy it may have sounded at that time. We understand faith, and we know that we all have some element or level of faith, but we also know that there are times where the request is so outlandish that I need to hear from God just to know that this is where I'm. I could give you a dozen stories, but you don't want to hear me talk any longer, so I won't. So, but you've got your own, and you know what those moments are, those moments of peril, and those crossroads at your life, and you just said, Lord, if it's you. If I can just hear your voice, if I can just know for a certain that this is you, then show me, speak to me,
tell me, say something. And he didn't come out with some elaborate speech or any scripture. He just spoke to you a small word in a small, still voice. And because of that, you moved out into an area of your life that you would have never done so. Now, he did not say, Peter, come, but you're going to sink up to your eyeballs. He didn't say, okay, but are you sure? It's pretty crazy out there right now. There's not a whole lot of stability outside of this boat. And he certainly didn't, on the flip side, say, well, you know, the Lord wants you to be saved. We want you to stay in the boat. He said, come. So Peter shows us something. He shows us the way. But when storms come, he never considered an option or an alternative. He did not sit there and reason with himself and say, okay, I'm pretty sure that was the Lord. But, you know, I don't know, maybe it was me. And why would God want me to do something so crazy in the first place? And I just don't understand it. And what happens if I do get out there and it wasn't the Lord and it was just me? And you know how we go through all these confusing conversations in our own heads and we just make our lives more miserable? That kind of conversation. He didn't do any of those. He never considered any other option either. You haven't got that yet, but I'm going to tell you. When Peter moved out, it was never a thought to go back. And I'm going to prove it to you. So he steps out and he begins to walk. I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know exactly how far Jesus was. But he begins to walk, and the scripture says when he began to take note, and I'm going to try and put this in words that you can process today for wherever you might be. He took note of how crazy it actually was finally. Because, you know, there's one thing when you're in the safety of the boat and the winds are boisterous and the waves are kind of insane, but it's another when you're out there by yourself. If you've ever been out on the water, even in a boat, and it gets really bad, you know, it just seems like a really crazy idea. And you wouldn't think of getting off the boat when it's that bad out there. I did one time years ago, many years ago. We got out. We saw that we were several miles out from the shore up in Cleveland, Lake Erie. And we saw storm clouds way inland over. And I thought, man, I got all kind of time. Before I blinked my eyes, they were over there. It was raining so hard we couldn't see. It was like sand peppered in the face. Skies got black and we completely lost the shore. I can promise you, I didn't sit there thinking, well, maybe if I get out of the boat, it'll be better off. No, at that point, you hold on to the boat with everything you've got. And you pray. Vain prayers sometimes, because those are just prayers of fear. We don't really look to the Lord. Not always, but sometimes, you know, we just blurt those things out. You understand, maybe not. So he gets out and he finally realizes, whoa, it's a little different being outside than it is inside. And then when you're up close to some of those situations, they just look a little different. You know, you might look at the ocean from high above. Maybe you're in an airplane or something and 3-foot waves, they look like nothing. But when you're in those 3-foot waves and you're in a little small craft, it could be a different story. You follow what I'm saying? You don't follow. I'm probably confusing you. So he gets out. He gets in his situation. He prays his prayer. He says, Lord, if it's you, and the Lord gives you a word, and you move off of that word and you step out of comfortability based off of that word. But then you begin to see life up close. And then you begin to see problems up close. And then you begin to see the opposition up close. And it has a tendency to mess with your head. And it has a tendency to cause you embrace fear rather than embrace boldness. And it has a tendency to cause us to forget all about the word that the Lord spoke. At that moment, we don't remember how, with the peace that we felt. And we don't remember the assurance that we felt. And we don't remember the confidence that we felt when we first moved out into that situation. Let me just take a pause and tell you something. There are going to be times if you're going to serve God that you're going to want to move beyond your place of comfortability. I know Brother Matthew talked about it a little bit on Wednesday night. But you're going to want to get beyond that and you're going to want to push yourself to the limits. But you know that if the Lord is with you, that everything's going to be all right. But then it seems when you get out there, nothing is going to be all right. And when you get out there, what in God's name did I do? And that couldn't have been God. If that was the Lord, why would things be like this? It looks like sudden destruction. It looks like the waves are going to swallow me up. It looks like I've already lost the battle. I'm trying to tell you that it's not always just going to be smooth sailing for you. I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to be bold and you're going to serve God, it's going to require not just steps of faith, but sometimes leaps of faith. If you're going to be bold and you're going to serve God, you have to forget everybody else that's in the boat. I don't care what they do. It's not about what they're doing. It's not about what the rest of the church is doing. It's not about anything else. It's about what am I doing? What is God calling to me about? What's the Lord talking to me about? What's happening in my life right now? And if you're going to be that person, then you're going to have to step out and you're going to have to move. And I'm going to tell you now, it's going to get nasty out there when you do. I'm going to tell you now, you're going to think you made a big mistake when you do. I'm going to tell you now, you're going to think you were nuts. You thought you were nuts then. Now you know you're nuts. And there's no way that could have been God, because God would not put me in a situation like, where do we become so smart that we decide what situations God puts you in? So, something happens. Happens to all of us. We begin to sink. We've all been there. We have all been there where we think we did what God asked us to do, and before you know it, we wind up knee-deep in the muck and the mire. And we're getting deeper. And if I don't do something now, if I don't do something now, well, I've heard this one too from the intellectuals. Well, God expects me to do something. You did. You stepped out. Now you can let God do his part. But we don't like that because we don't like letting go of the reins. I mean, they can sing Jesus Take the Wheel, but ain't nobody sits in their car unless you got a Tesla fully automated. And even then, I still think it's stupid to let your car drive you around. No one lets Jesus take the wheel. Nobody. You can sing it from, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. You grab the wheel again real fast. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to paint a picture. That's who we are. But so here's what happens. So he gets out there. You know the rest of the story. He begins to sink. I got a question for you. I'm not the brightest guy on the block. And I know I only have a 10th grade education. But why didn't he just swim? I mean, me, I'd just be like, all right, the standing on water stuff ain't working out too well. I'm just going to swim back to the boat. Now, I don't know if he could swim or not. I'm just going to guess he could. I don't know. But I know a lot of you are good swimmers. You know how? I know that. Because many of you, when you begin to sink, you just start swimming. And some of y'all, you like to spin right back around and swim right back for the boat. It's comfortable in the boat. Now, I tried this faith stuff, but I'm going to go back here where it's a little more comfortable. Do a little dog paddle. Get back to the boat. Have a little fun with it on your trip back. Climb up in the boat. Well, you know, I mean, it was good. And, you know, and then from there, everything just kind of goes. Peter never considered going back to the boat. I don't know why, but it dawned on me this week that he didn't. And that maybe it dawned on me because over the years, I've seen way too many people do a U-turn and make a beeline back to the boat. Now, I want to talk to you for a second. And I want you to let the Lord talk to you for a second. And just, you can close your eyes and just forget it's me standing here holding the microphone for a second. But God is trying to say to some people today, you asked me and I answered and you stepped out as you should have. But now because you're getting a little deep out there in the middle of nothing because you started looking at the problems around you rather than staying focused on the mission and staying focused on me, he said, now you're going to go ahead and swim back to the boat. Now you're going to go ahead and talk about maybe you made a mistake and maybe this and maybe that. And what God is trying to say to you today is look at Peter. Peter never went back to the boat. You know what he did? He did what we don't do.
I'm going to get you. Well, I pray, Pastor. I pray. No, Peter didn't pray, folks. Peter didn't pray. No, Peter, he got to the point where he said, Jesus, save me. Well, I don't want to. People think I'm crazy. Well, then drown. When I'm drowning, I don't care what anybody thinks. You know what I've noticed in the world? I'm not your average person, first of all. You probably figured that out. I'm not the life of the party. You probably figured that out a long time ago. Who's shaking her head? Yes. But here's what I've known over the years, because I like to read stories, and there's certain news I like to keep up with, and I've heard a lot of weird stories over the years, and you probably have too. And I remember one about a young lady that had escaped captivity. A man had kidnapped her and held her hostage. And she finally found an opportunity to get out. But when she had that opportunity, she had no clothes. But she got out of the house and she went running down the highway with no clothes, waving her hands, something no ordinary person would do. Something no person with 1 ounce of dignity would ever think about. But when you're desperate, and when you're in a situation where it's about ready to swallow you up and you might not live, all that shame goes out the door. You don't think about who's going to see me in my birthday suit. You don't think about my people seeing my belly rolls. You know what I'm talking about. You don't think about hiding all the things in your body that you don't like. You just think about living. You just think about surviving. Your mind goes into a different mode. And so what do? You just go. You just move. You just cry out for help. You don't just whisper. You don't text somebody and ask them. That's not how desperate people respond. Here's our problem. Our problem is we try to move in the area of faith when God wants us to. But whenever it gets too rough outside the boat, we go ahead and swim back to the boat rather than just crying out to the Lord. And I mean cry, because we've got too much pride. We've got too much pride for my husband to hear me shouting the name of Jesus in my bedroom, or for my children to see tears rolling down my face. And I'm saying, God, I need you to help us. You brought us here. You put us in this situation. You told me to step out. And I did. Now I need you to save me. I need you to rescue me. I mean, we're in 2022, and I'm not being critical of anybody, I promise you. But those things happen, we quit church. That's a brainstorm. That's genius. I'm not being cruel, I'm just saying that's genius. So, I don't understand the reasoning. I understand the pressure. I know the pressure that drives us there. But there's no logic to it whatsoever. Think about it. The very thing that you stepped out for in the first place, the Lord Himself, is the very thing that you say, I'm done with because it's just too rough out here. There's no logic to it. It would seem rational to me to teach myself to cry out to the very one who I know He can get me through this. And He can get me out of this. But I got to forget about my shame for a couple minutes. And I got to forget. I mean, we come up to the altar, and I understand, especially people that are brand new in the Lord. And I don't go to the altar because I don't want people to see me cry. Well, you best get over that, because if you don't cry, you're going to die. That's exactly what's going to happen.
if you don't go ahead and open that all that pain up and all that misery that you've carried for your entire life, it will swallow you up and you'll be like a walking zombie. You won't have an ounce of emotion. You'll have all five of your marriages will fall apart and you'll get to the end of your road and you'll say, my God, what happened? I don't understand. But you do. You understand. Today, the Lord is trying to say to people, you're only human. You're going to feel like giving up. I don't know if you've been to a church and they never felt like giving up, made my life. Oh my God, you're going to have to introduce me to them. Because me, it's about once a week. It's not that bad. You're like, oh my God. I want to run. I want to hide a lot. You know why? You know why that is? Because I'm human. I'm not a God. I'm not divine. I have flesh. I have emotions. I fail from time to time. But when I do, I purpose something in my heart. In Micah chapter 7, in verse 7, Micah is lamenting, as we do, the day and the hour that he's living in. He's lamenting. You go back and read the first six verses. It's kind of depressing. But he says in verse 7, no matter how bad all these things are, he said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. And I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Can I ask you a question? Why don't we do that? This is a question. It's not rhetorical. Why don't we say, I'm going to wait? Because we're too accustomed to asking, how long do I got to wait? If I don't have to wait too long. We're too used to going to the amusement parks and they give you this little speedy pass. Now you got little... You got little apps on your phone that tells you exactly how long it is, and they got little clocks and timers outside. You go wait 90 minutes. Well, I could do that. We know. We like to know. That's just a reality. We like to know. We don't like to wait. But why would Micah say something like that? You know why? Because he said, my God will hear me. He didn't say, maybe he'll hear me. He didn't say, hopefully he'll hear me. He said, he will hear me. But he also said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will save me. He will rescue me. I don't need to do a U-turn and swim back to the boat. He will hear me. But I've got to cry out to that very God that I say will hear me. And then he says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Moses told the Lord, if you kill all of Israel, if you wipe them out, he said the Egyptians are going to celebrate and they're going to say that you could not bring them into Canaan. The Lord repented. Did an about face. Bless you. But he was saying your enemies are going to rejoice against you. There's always going to be somebody that's waiting for you to fall. And they're waiting for you to stumble. And they're waiting for you to give up on the very thing that you've told them 1,000 times you love with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. And they're waiting for you so they can, yeah, how real is your God? And just like the Egyptians would have. I've heard people say it. Oh, where's your God now? Oh, where's your God now? Where's your God now? But you can't get rattled by those things. You've got to be like Micah, and you've got to say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, not if I fall, in case I fall, but when I do, I shall get back up, and I shall wipe the dust off, and I shall continue in this thing that I set out for in the first place. I shall not go back. I shall not swim back to the boat. I shall not seek a place of safety in this life. But I shall look to the Lord, and I shall cry out unto him, and I shall do so knowing that he will rescue me. You cannot convince me that Jesus, or that Peter had one question that the Lord would not have saved him from that situation. Now, I've pointed this out before, but I'm going to point it out again. Jesus did not reach down and say, oh, hold on, Peter, let me get you. He did nothing until Peter cried out to him. Because the Lord wants us to want him. He wants us to need him. You ever try to help somebody that says, I need help? We do that. We do that. Now, we don't say that to the Lord. We just act it. I don't need your help. I can go somewhere else. I don't need your help. I can get a second job. I don't need your help, Lord. I can make my own way. I don't need your help. I can work overtime. I don't need your help. I don't need your help, Lord. I can do it. I don't need your help. I can fix this relationship. I don't need your help. I can fix my marriage. I don't need your help. I can dig myself out of my own hole. But I just showed you where you cannot. He said, the Comforter will come. He will advocate for you. He will intercede for you. The Comforter will be the one that will pull you out when you cannot pull yourself out, and will intercede for you when you cannot intercede for you. That's why you've got to learn to lift your hands and call on the Lord, because that's where your strength comes from, and that's where your salvation comes from, and that's where your rescue will come from. Him and Him alone. I won't be much longer, but I'm going to be bold for a second. I don't want to hear that nonsense anymore. You don't have to raise your hands to serve God. No, as long as you got a boat you can swim back to, you're right. And you can be like the rest of the disciples, not really know who this Jesus is that you're serving. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. So you see what happens in the middle of this journey. And here, can you come play for me, honey? Because I got to wrap it up. Please don't tell my wife that I called her honey. She wouldn't get up. She'd be upset if she knew I called another woman honey. She is my wife, in case you don't know. She normally wears a t-shirt that says, I'm his and he's mine. But I told her not to wear that to church because it's kind of, you know, all you new couples, you little church, like, he's mine and I'm his. Look at our cute little t-shirts. Oh, when you get where I'm at after 25 years of marriage, and you're going to cross the decade that had the half mark, you'll laugh at those things too, I promise you. I promise you, he's mine and I'm his. What's that got to do with my sermon? Nothing. Just thought I'd give you a laugh. Because when you get older, it's more like this. He's mine and I'm his. I made a pledge. I got to stick with it. Now, that's not our house. Mm-mm. My wife wakes up every day. The first thing I hear her say is, thank you, Lord, that he is mine. It's the first thing. Whoever said that, enjoy the lake of fire. All right, let me finish because I'm losing my mojo. As in any motorized vehicle, unless you drive an electric vehicle, and it still stands true, you got to plug it in at some point. At some point, you're just a human being and you run low on gas. At some point, you're just kind of puttering in to your parking spot. At some point, you're just kind of puttering into your chair. And there comes a time in your life you just have to realize, rather than eating yourself up and beating yourself up, you just got to realize, I just need to fill up. I need to fill up. But I don't know about you, but when I go into a gas station, I put that bugger inside that whatever you call it, you know, where you put the gas nozzle. I pull that trigger, and I just say, fill it up. Fill it up. Give me those 4 gallons of gas for $97. Praise God. What you may not understand is when you think about turning back around and swimming back to the boat, it's probably because you're out of fuel. You're out of faith fuel. And you need to realize this is not a time to turn around and go back. This is not a time to undo what I've done in the Lord. This is not a time to fix everything, because you're really not fixing anything. You're breaking it further. But this is the time. Can you imagine the testimony that Peter had? And we're still reading about it. We're reading about his testimony. That's how powerful it is. Nobody else ever did it. And he taught us that when you do it, when you move in faith, he taught us how to cry out. If just by chance your faith begins to waver just a little bit because of the things in life, you've lost your fight, it's because you're low on fuel. You're going to grow weary. It's going to happen. You're going to get tired. You're going to lack in your desire. You're not always going to be on fire for the Lord. You're not always going to be passionate about this thing. I'm trying to tell you what life is. Sometimes your flame is going to flicker. And I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost, even though that would be the same too. Sometimes it's just going to flicker and it's going to barely hold on. And you're just going to have to say, I need to put some fuel on the fire. I need to put some wood on the fire. I need to get this thing roaring again. And I want to tell you today that that's not going to happen because you swim back to the safety net of your boat. It's going to happen because you learn how to shout out to the Lord and cry out to Him without shame, without embarrassment, without worrying about what somebody else thinks, without worrying about this or that or thus or that. It doesn't matter. Nobody matters. No, I love y'all, but when it comes to me and needing something from the Lord, your opinion don't matter to me. I need something from the Lord. I need something from the Lord. I am desperate to hear from God. Now, where we go wrong, and the Lord showed me this years ago, and I'm trying to wrap this up. Where we go wrong, we have a baptism on Brother Jerome. You can get ready for it because you're going to do it. Forgot what I was going to say. I know that part. Okay, I'll just blab for a minute. It'll come back to me eventually. I've had the unpleasure, that's not a word, but it is now, of seeing so many people over the years. You know, they're right there at the cusp of their breakthrough. They're right there. You can see it for them. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can touch it. Because you're Elisha. But they can't see it yet, because their faith has not come to that place. And so you pray, God, open their eyes. Let them see what I see. Let them see more than just the armies that oppose me, but let them see the armies of the Lord that surround the hilltops, that surpass the adversary innumerable. Let them see the joy of the Lord and not the frustration of life. Let them see the peace of God and not the agony of their situation and their circumstance. It's all a matter of looking differently. And we don't want to admit it, but we get impatient waiting on God. And so when we get impatient waiting on God, we start to sink a little bit. We decide, well, better go back to the boat. Maybe I didn't understand God. You understood God. I remember what I was going to say. Ask you a question. Moment of honesty. If you're sitting here today and you have said within yourself, because of whatever's going on in your life, Lord, I just wish you'd give me a word today. Would you raise your hand real quick? Oh, more than one I thought. Great. I've got your word for you. Your word is, He already gave you a word when you first stepped out. Why you need something new? That's your word. Years ago, the Lord told me that. I said that very thing. And the Lord said, what are you talking about? I already gave you a word. You already moved on that word. You stepped out on that word. Why do you need something different? Go back to the word. Remember what the Holy Ghost does, the Comforter? He brings all things into remembrance. You don't need a new word. You need God to bring the old word, the original word, back into remembrance. His word, His grace is sufficient for you. What He gave you then is good for today. I wish somebody would hear me. I know I'm not all over it today, but I'm trying to tell you what He gave you then is still good for you right now. His word lasts from everlasting to everlasting. It doesn't get old. It doesn't fade. He doesn't make mistakes. There wasn't an oopsie. You need to say, God, bring that word back into my remembrance. Let me hear it as clearly as I heard it the day I stepped out of the boat. Because that's the word that got you out in the first place. And that's the word that will keep you where you walked. Do me a favor. If that's you in any way, if this is you today, would you come to this front and not kneel, just stand? Remember, embarrassment, no time for that. Shame, no time for that stuff. That don't matter. You're human. Stop trying to be Superman. There is no X-Men. There's no Marvel. There's no DC. It's all made up. It's all fantasy. What is real is the power of God. What is real is the will of God. And what is real is the capabilities of God. And I can tell you here today, there's not one bone in your body that has stepped so far away from God, He can't rescue you. There's not one fingernail on your body that He cannot fix. There's not one hair of your head that He has not numbered. That's how meticulously God knows those who are His. And I can promise you this. It's the will of God that He rescues you. If you need Him, He wants to be there for you. If you need Him to pull you up, He wants to be the one. If you need Him to bail you out, He wants to be the one. He does not want you swimming back to the safety of your ship. He wants you to cry out to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Don't, hey, none of this nonsense. Well, the Lord knows where I am. He knows my heart. I don't want to hear that stuff. He wants to hear your mouth. He wants to hear you cry unto Him. I've already shared with you the facts and the details, and they remain the same. And Peter would have sunk had he never cried out. And you will too. You will too. But I've come here to tell you today, you stepped out because of that word. Now you hold on to that word. Don't you go back to that ship. That ship can be broken up in the storm. It's not as secure as you think it is. You're better off outside the boat than you are in the boat as long as the Lord is with you, as long as He's near you. Because if He's near, He can always pull you up and pull you out. And He can do what you need Him to do. Huh. I want us to pray together. Lord Jesus, You and You alone know every person here today, God. You know their hearts. God, You know the storm. You know the struggle. You know the frustration, God. You know the anxiety. Lord, You know the fear that rises up inside of us when those waves get way over our head, God. And it's just normal. It's in our human nature to question. It's in our human nature to wonder if we made the right decision or not. But I'm here to say, Lord, under Your guidance and under Your anointing, that not only did we make the right decision, but we need to hold fast to that word. Hold on to that word. Let that word be your anchor. Let it be your strong tower. Let it be your stable foundation that you stand upon. There's nothing more secure than that word. I promise you, He knows you by name. I promise you, He will not let you suffer. He will not let you die. He's doing something. You just need to figure out what He's doing. Hallelujah. Just pray. Go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray. If there's somebody beside you, pray with them. If you're sitting out there and you come up and pray with somebody, I bet you they'd appreciate it right now. I bet you they'd thank God for your hand on their shoulder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Lord, fill us up now. Fill us up, I pray. That's what you've done here already this morning. Fill us up with your presence. Fill us up with your spirit. Fill us up with your power. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Our God, he cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. There's not a night too dark, a journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through. In time, he'll make you new. 'Cause our God, he cares about us. Wait, wait on.
Get the boat out of your head. Get the boat out of your mind. That's not safety. Safety is the will of God. Safety is being where God planted you. That's where you'll be safe. Hallelujah.
Wait on the Lord.
Keep going. Lord, bid me to come. 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 I feel the Lord saying again today, come. Come. Hey.
He's ordering. No matter what you're going through right now, he's ordering your steps. You got to wait. 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 'Cause he's ordering. No matter what you're going through right now, he's ordering your steps.
I want you to do something with me right now. I'm going to count to three. I want you to shout Jesus as loud as you can. I'm going to help you right now. And you're going to watch what it does. It's all right. It's his church. We'll say his name any way we want to. When I count to three, I want you to shout Jesus as loud as you can. One, two, three. Jesus. Come on, somebody. Let's do it one more time. One, two, three. Jesus. Go ahead. Jesus, God, we need you here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. 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 I'm not turning back now. 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 gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm not turning back now. No, I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not. Oh, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. No, I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 And I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back
It's a walk of faith. It's not a walk of the flesh. Your flesh won't like where you're at, but your faith should love it. I'm going to say it one more time. Your flesh will never like being in those situations, but faith is built outside of the boat. That's where faith is built. Amen.
Brother Jerry, come on up and pray for us as we close. And you, I want you to feel free to pray as long as you want.
Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this word and, Lord, in your spirit that was here today. Help us, Jesus, Lord, when we step out from your word. When you speak that word, Lord, and we step out of that boat, Lord, and we begin to sink, Lord, may we swim towards you, Lord, and not back to the boat. Lord, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, Lord, when we begin to sink, Lord, may that faith, Lord, override, Lord, and just trust in you, Lord, in that word, that one word that you gave us, Lord, that we not seek another word, but stand on that word that you gave us, Lord, that made us step out, Lord. May we go back to that, Lord. May that be our strength, Lord. May that be our faith, Lord, that one word alone, Lord, moved us, Lord, to step out. And because of that word, Lord Jesus, Lord, we know that you'll provide every need. We know when we begin to sink, Lord, we just got to cry out to you and not swim back. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this hour. We thank you, Lord, for what you did in the hearts and minds that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.